Tonight's shiur is on Megillas Esther, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Introduction of Mordechai. So tonight we're going to move towards Purim, and instead of doing our normal Parsha shiur, we're going to discuss the introduction of Mordechai in Megillas Esther. It's basically one pasuk in Esther Perek Beis, and there's several gemaras and midrashim on the introduction of Mordechai and why he's introduced to us, why he's brought into the Megillah in the way that he's brought in. So we're going to look through those Gemaras and try to analyze them to gain some insight into Mordechai and his perfection and his personality. So the first Gemara, it's the same Gemara. It's Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. It says, Ish Yehudi Haya Bishushan Habira. So if you go to source number 2, I have the whole Pasuk on the sheet of paper, on the first source sheet. It says, Ish Yehudi Haya Bishushan Habira Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish ish Yemini. So there was a Jewish man who lived in the capital of Shushan, and his name was Mordechai. He was the son of Yair, who was the son of Shimi, who was the son of Kish, and he was from Binyamin. Ish Yemini means he was from Binyamin. So the pasuk is very verbose in terms of describing who Mordechai came from. So the Gemara, obviously, the Gemara points this out, or the Gemara jumps on this fact. And if you go back to source number 1, it says, Ish Yemini, at the end of the Pasuk, Maika Omar. So what's this Pasuk trying to teach us? What's the purpose of this Pasuk? I liyachusa ka'asi liyachse v'azil ab Binyamin. So if the purpose of the Pasuk is to tell us that he came from Binyamin, so go all the way back to Binyamin. Ella, so the Pasuk doesn't say his lineage all the way back to Binyamin. It stops at Kish, and then it says that he was from Binyamin. But if you're really just trying to show his lineage, so then just go bring the lineage all the way back to the Shevet of Binyamin. So what's the purpose of this? That's what the Gemara is asking. Elamayshna hani. So why are these mentioned? And we don't go, why is it not that his lineage goes back all the way to Binyamin in the Pasuk? So Tana Kulan al Shimo Nikru. So they're all tied to his designation or his name. Ben Ya'ir. So what does it mean, Ben Ya'ir? Ben Sheheir Enam Shel Yisrael B'tfilasa. So Ya'ir, it means he's the son of, or he's the individual who opened up the eyes and enlightened the Jewish people through his tefillah. Ben Shimi, so Shimi is Ben Shishama El Tefilaso, so he was the individual whose tefillah was heard. And then it's Ben Kish, Shehekish Al Shari Rachamim Meniftechula. So the last one, Ben Kish, means that he knocked on the doors, the gates of Rachamim, of mercy, and they were open for him. So the Gemara points out that the Pasuk isn't just to teach us where he came from and his lineage, but it's trying to teach us three different ideas about Mordechai. The first idea is Ben Ya'ir, which is from the word He'ir, which is to enlighten. So he lightened up the eyes of the Jewish people through his tefillah. Shimi is from Shama, that his tefillah was heard. And Kish is Shehekish al Shari Rachamim, which means to knock, that he knocked on the doors on the gates of Rachamim and Iftechulah. So first of all, so we have to understand what is the purpose of introducing Mordechai with these descriptions, and what's the idea of each one, of each concept? Because the Megillah, it's very specific and precise, and like any Kisvei Kodesh, we have to analyze each element. So we have to analyze why each of these three ideas are emphasized in the Pasuk. So that's really what we're going to try to explain first, and then we're going to go through several other midrashim about Mordechai and his personality. So the first idea, it's really, if you look at the Gemara, it seems a little out of order. It says that first he was Heir Enam Shel Yisrael, then his tefillah was listened to, and then last it was Hekish Al Shari Rachamim, that he knocked on the doors of Rachamim. But I think if you read it into the Pasuk, it actually makes sense and should be the opposite, because his earliest ancestor is Ben Kish. So the first, chronologically, the first thing that was done was that he knocked on the doors of Rachamim, the gates, then his tefillah was listened to, and then finally he was Heir Enam Shel Yisrael. So let's look at some Mefarshim, a couple, and then we'll get some more facts, and we'll try to define these ideas over here. So if you look in source number 3, the Torah Tamima mentions, V'yemuvan Hashem ben b'chol elek mo ben oni ben hakos ben mavis, klomar ish shehir sheshama. So he says that it doesn't mean son of. Ben also means bin, means the man of, ben hakos ben mavis. If you look in the Pesukim, it doesn't just means son, but it also means the man, bin mavis. That's his designation, that's who he was. So it means ha'ish she'ir, he was the man who enlightened the Jewish people. V'ayin ma'ashikasa b'torah t'mim o'reish perek shlach b'derech hazal lidro shemos. So he says to look over there in terms of the drushos of names. V'romez kan l'masha shama kadosh baruch hu es tefilaso bedavar gzeres haman. So there's a remez over here to the idea that Hashem listened to his tefila with regard to the decree of Haman. Uvishkalim perek hey medrash aleph isa psachya zem Mordechai. So in Shkalim it says that another name for Mordechai was Pesachya. That was another name for him. V'lama nikra shemo Pesachya. Why was Mordechai called Pesachya? Shehaya posech bedvarim bedorshan. So he opened up ideas and he analyzed them and he was able to expound on them. But he says l'tfia drashos dahacha haya efshar lefari shenikra Pesachya sheniftach lo Pesach. So what is Pesachya according to this medrash and this Gemara? Pesachya means opened up. That he opened up the Shari Rachamim, Kididarish Khan, Shehikyash al Shari Rachamim, Meniftechula. So another idea the Torah Tumimah says, we're not defining it yet, but the Torah Tumimah says that we see another insight or another connection between Shehikyash al Shari Rachamim, that he knocked on the doors of Rachamim, which is that another name for Mordechai is Psachia, which means Pasach, to open up. So we also, it's another idea in Mordechai, so we have to understand the significance of this idea of Psachia, that the Shari Rachamim were opened up for him. So what is that idea? How would we analyze each different element of this Pasuk, and what's the insight that we can gain from it? So if we look in source number 4, and then we'll get to the first idea. If we look in source number 4, the Maharsha gives us also a little more facts. He doesn't define it for us, but he says, on our Gemara, it's Kimasha Kasav La Yudim Haisa Ora. So where do we see that his tefillah resulted in Heyer Nehem? So the Pasuk later on, which we say, many of us say in Havdalah, it's La Yudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sosan V'Yikar. So the first is Ora, that the Jews had this light, they were enlightened as a result of being saved. Uven Shimi Ayin Sham Sheshama Kadosh Baruch Hu Ki Hikish B'Tfilaso Al Shari Rachamim Ki Kfar Ninalu Shari Rachamim. So that's a reference to the idea that his tefillah was accepted once the Shari Rachamim were opened up, as mentioned in the Midrashah. Shegazar Aleim Kalia, there was a gzera from Hashem that the Jews would be destroyed. Lulei tefillaso shel Mordechai v'tzadikim shebaosador sheniftechu lahem Shari Rachamim sheninalu. If not for Mordechai and the tzadikim of that generation who opened up the Shari Rachamim. So the Marsha says two things, which we can use when we define it. One is, what is the Heyer Einam Shel Yisrael? It's a reference to the Pasuk of La'idim Haisa Ora V'Simcha. And the second point that he mentions is that if not for the Jews, there was a decree. There's a lot of Midrashim that say that the Jews, there was a real decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just from Haman. It wasn't just Gzeras Haman, but it really was from God as well, that the Jews should be destroyed, if not for Mordechai and his tefillah. So what is that idea? What's this concept over here that this insight that Mordechai had into tefillah and his relationship to tefillah, and why the Megillah is introducing this idea about Mordechai to begin with. So let's just look a little bit at Mordechai's tefillah. It doesn't really give us much in Megillah itself. If you look in source number 5, it just says in Esther Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, Mordechai yada esko asher nasa, vayikra Mordechai espigada, vayibash sak vayifer, vayitze besoch ir, vayizak zeakag gedolah umara. So when Mordechai heard about the decree made caused by Haman, so he went out and he ripped his clothes and he wore this sack and he wore sackcloth and ashes, and he went and he screamed a very bitter scream. So the Megillah doesn't really mention what his tefillah was, but it says that he was deeply affected and he went out and he was screaming. And then if you look in source number 6, just one other reference to his tefillah, it doesn't really say much, but it says over there when Esther and Mordechai decide and they plan to manipulate Achashverosh. So in Perek Dalet it says, "Vatomer Esther Lashiv El Mordechai." So when Esther agrees to it, she says to tell Mordechai, "Lech Kenos Es Kol Yehudim Hanimtzaim B'Shushan V'Tzumu Alai V'Altochlu V'Altishtu Shloshes Yamim Laila V'Yom Gam Aniv V'Arosai Atum Kain V'Chein Avu Al Melech Hashelocha Das V'Chasher Avati Avati." She says to Mordechai that basically get the Jews to fast and to daven, and I'll go in there, and if I get destroyed, I get destroyed. And then in Yud Zayin it says, "Vayavor Mordechai vayas k'chol asher tzivasa alav Esther." So Mordechai did as Esther told him, and it says, and then of course we know what happens in the Megillah, what happens after that. So we don't really get any insight into the tefillah of Mordechai, but it seems like the Gemara is highlighting that Mordechai was really giving insights or had tremendous insight into tefillah. So we have to understand what that is. And if we look in Rashi over there, he just gives us one little nugget. If you look in source number 7, It says Vayavor Mordechai. So in the actual tefillah and the tzom, so it says that he was over Vayavor Mordechai al das lehisanos biyom tov rishon al das lehisanos biyom tov rishon shal Pesach shatanis yudal benisan v'tes vav v'tes zayin shari biyom dud gimel nichtavu asfarim. So really, he was over. He violated something by having the Jews fast. It was actually Pesach itself when it happened, when the fast occurred. And Mordechai told the Jews, based on Esther's advice, to fast nevertheless, and to fast even on Pesach. So what do we see from there, from Rashi? So maybe we can analyze the three ideas about Mordechai that's mentioned in the Gemara. The first one is, Shehekish al-Shari Rachmem Niftechula. So it says that he knocked on the doors, and they were opened up for him. So what does that mean? What exactly is the Chiddush? So I believe the Chiddush is if anybody has any ideas, they can stop me. So what exactly, what's the point over there? What's the Gemara trying to teach us? That it was Hekesh al-Shari Rachmem Niftechula. So I think the concept over there is that Mordechai really understood, it sounds like Mordechai really understood he didn't just understand the practical situation where the Jews were subject to being destroyed, but he really understood the philosophical threat here, which is what the Maharsha mentions, that there's a midrashim that say that the Jews were really, there was a decree upon high from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Jews were chayav misa. It wasn't just Haman that was the cause, but Mordechai recognized the philosophical state of the Jews and how their averos were really, really warranted that they be destroyed. So the idea of Hekesh al-Shari Rachamim Niftechu Lo is trying to show us that Mordechai understood the nature of the threat. And you see from the fact that he told the Jews to fast on Pesach itself that he really analyzed this as not just a practical political threat, but he really recognized the philosophical threat that the Jews really were chai of Kliya, they were really chai of destruction. And that's why he even immobilized them to daven on Pesach itself, because he recognized the dire situation of the Jewish people. And that was a Chiddush, because not everybody would have thought that way. A lot of times, first of all, they had a lot of time before the actual decree would take place. It was very early on. So they could have waited out, or he could have just believed that this was a political maneuver and that there would be some way out of it. In fact, we see from history that in the Holocaust, so there are many early warning signs, but a lot of Jews didn't leave because they didn't realize the extent of the warning signs and what it would lead to. So the Chiddush of Mordechai was that he didn't just look at the situation as a political situation, but he understood the threat on a philosophical level. And because of that, he was able to immobilize the Jews and daven in a way where they really expressed the nature of this threat. So the first Chiddush, and that's a Chiddush in Mordechai's understanding of the importance of tefillah in this situation, that he really recognized the threat, philosophical threat, and that's why it says that he was Hekesh al-Shari Rachamim, meaning he knew that, or he understood that the Jews, it would be possible for the Jews to be destroyed philosophically, and he understood that really there is a potential for them to be completely and utterly destroyed, not just because of the practical, because of Haman, but also because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would be his will, and therefore he understood the dire nature, and he instructed the Jews to even fast and daven and violate Pesach. So it shows you how he understood the situation and he analyzed it correctly. The second idea is Ben Sheshamel Tfilaso. So what's the Chiddush over there? So Hashem listened to his Tfilah. So that's another Chiddush. It sounds like Mordechai, it's one thing to understand the situation, but you have to construct a Tfilah that would really be successful. And a lot of people in that type of situation could be scared and they could create a tefillah that wouldn't be acceptable, that wouldn't be accepted or hear or heard or shama or be accepted and acted on. So the second chiddush in Mordechai was, aside from assessing the situation properly, he was able to construct a tefillah that would be heard, that would be listened to, that would be makabo. So that was a chiddush in Mordechai. And then finally, the last idea is Heyer Panav Shel Yisrael through his tefillah. So what's the idea of Heyer Panav? I didn't bring it down in the psukim, but Ora V'Simcha, it's not just happiness, but Ora, the Gemara says, is Torah. It's really a reference to Torah. So why is light an idea in Torah? Because the concept of Torah is that it provides man with clarity in terms of his path, in terms of God's will. And when you don't have Torah, you're in the dark. You're clouded. Your mind is clouded. You really don't have any direction as to what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to live your life. So the third idea is that it sounds like the concept is that there's a direct relationship between the tefillah of Mordechai and the clarity and the insight that the Jews had as to how they were saved, that it wasn't just practical, but that Mordechai's tefillah had an effect and it actually worked. So that was something that the Jews recognized. They recognized in their celebration that it wasn't just political, and they didn't just acknowledge the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they recognized the value of tefillah, and they had insight into the value of tefillah. So now with those three ideas, again, so let me just summarize. There's three ideas in Mordechai, in Mordechai's presentation, or the presentation of Mordechai and Megillas Esther, based on the Gemara. The first idea, or the furthest idea chronologically, is that Mordechai was able to assess the situation properly, and really the fact that he mobilized the Jews to daven and fast on Pesach itself shows you that he really was able to observe the situation, be honest, and be objective about it, and see the philosophical threat to the Jews. The second is that he was able to craft the tefillah and construct the tefillah that would be accepted. And the third idea, which is a chiddush, was that he was able to, or his tefillah resulted, it wasn't just a tefillah that, and then the Jews were happy, but it resulted in a certain clarity and a certain insight that the Jews had into how tefillah works and the strength of tefillah, the power of tefillah. So why is it the Megillah presenting Mordechai in this way? Because it's showing you that, or it's really not just presenting you Mordechai the man, but it's showing you Mordechai's insight and his perfection, and his key perfection of Mordechai was really tied to his ideas about tefillah and his knowledge of tefillah and how it worked. So those are really, it's really an essential perfection and an essential idea in Mordechai's personality. So when Megillas Esther, when it introduces Mordechai, it's not just introducing the person Mordechai, but it's introducing the perfection of Mordechai along with Mordechai. It's trying to give insight into at least the potential of Mordechai and the understanding of Mordechai in terms of his relationship to tefillah. So that's really the first idea. So if you were just reading the Megillah and you just saw this pasuk issue diyayab shoshana birosh Shmuel Mordechai, and you didn't have this Gemara, you would have just thought, oh, it's just telling us, you know, who his father was, who his grandfather was. But the Gemara is showing us that there is a deeper insight here, that the Megillas Esther is not just presenting Mordechai as just this is Mordechai, but it's trying to teach us about his perfection, his nature, and his essential, the essential idea of Mordechai, which was tied to his insight in tefillah and his ability to utilize tefillah in a powerful way. So it's really a chiddush in Mordechai. Okay, so that's the first idea. So let's just go through some other midrashim, very interesting, fascinating midrashim about the same pasuk, and different. They're just analyzing different ideas in the pasuk. So if you look at, anybody have any questions, by the way? Let me just stop here. Any questions on that point? Or anybody want to add anything? Okay. All right, so let's just go on. Look in source number 8. So now it gets interesting. So it says, Karile Yehudi. So he was called Yehudi. The pasuk, it says, Ish Yehudi. And in fact, later on, at the end of the, if you look in source number 17, it says, Ki Mordechai ha Yehudi. It calls him a Yehudi, a Jew. So why does the Torah, why does Megillas Esther reference him as Yehudi? Alma mi Yehuda ka'asi. So the Gemara says he must have come from Shevet Yehuda. But then the Gemara says, Vikari le Yemini, but he's called Yemini. Alma b'Binyamin ka'asi. So which one did he come from? Was he from Yehuda or was he from Binyamin? Because our pasuk says Ish Yemini at the end, and it also says Ish Yehudi in the beginning. So was he from Yehuda or was he from Binyamin? So it's a strange contradiction in the pasuk. So the Gemara says like this: Amar of Nachman, Mordechai Muchtar b'Nimuso Haya. So the first idea is that Mordechai, he was crowned with his names, with different names. So look in the Rashi, look in source number 9 on the next daf. It says Muchtar b'Nimuso Haya b'Shemos Na'in. He had a lot of beautiful names attached to him. Nimus Shem b'Lashon Yavon. So Nimus means name in Greek. So it means, so what does it mean, Yehudi? And it says, Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Mordechai Muchtar b'Nimuso Haya. So that's what it means, Yehudi. He was really from Binyamin, but Yehudi is a reference to the idea that he was really surrounded, and he was really characterized by many beautiful names. So that's how they want to answer it. So what does that mean? What's the first idea? So the first idea, the first medrash, I believe, is, I was thinking about this from a practical standpoint. So people have many titles, a lot in America specifically, but all around the world. You can have a title of doctor, either you're a PhD or you're an MD, or you can be a lawyer. You can have a sir. You can be knighted. So there's many different titles that a person can have. But titles is really an idea that a person is distinguished usually. Usually the idea of a title is that a person has a certain stature. And usually a people with a certain stature, they act a certain way and people perceive them a certain way. So when you have a lot of names attached to you, which is the first explanation, so it demonstrates a certain character, a certain stature. So the first idea of Ish Yehudi, Hayah B'Shushan Rosh, Mor Mordechai, is trying to show us it's a different idea than we mentioned first. The idea, the concept is that Mordechai had a certain stature. He had a certain characteristic where people perceived him in a certain way, as in a sophisticated way. He had a sophisticated character. And that's the idea of Mukhtar Bani Musohaya, that he was crowned by his names, by many names. He had many beautiful names. It means that Mordechai had a lot of titles, that he was, that he had a certain character and a certain stature. And just like in many cultures, when a person has a lot of titles, so people perceive that as being having a certain stature. So Mordechai created that perception of himself, and he had that perception, and that was beneficial for him in terms of accomplishing his plan in the Megillah. So that's the first idea. So the first idea is that Mordechai was being introduced to us in terms of his ability to create a certain stature. But the second idea is let's go on and look in source number 8. Source number 8, I think, is the next idea is, I think, the biggest insight. It says, Amar of Nachman, sorry, keep going. It's two lines down. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar of Yoshua ben Levi, Aviv ben Yamin v'Imo miYehuda. So another explanation for this contradiction is that his father was from Binyamin and his mother was from Yehuda. So that's why in the first part it says Ish Yehudi, and the second part it says at the end it says Ish Yemini. So it's not a contradiction. He was a mix. He was from a mixed marriage of Yehuda and Binyamin. That his mother was from Yehuda and his father was from Binyamin. So who cares? Now that's a question. Who cares? So the Medrash is telling us that his father was from Binyamin and his mother is from Yehuda. So why is that important in terms of introducing Mordechai? Okay, so that's the question. Anybody have any possibilities? Why would it matter? Why does Megillas Esther have to tell us that he came from Yehuda and Binyamin? Who cares? It seems totally secondary. So why does Esther have to tell us that? So let's look in. Yeah, go ahead. Excellent. Exactly. So it's trying to show us. So when you have parents from different tribes or you have different types of parents, it's not just telling us where he came from, but it's telling us insight into his personality. So that he's a mixture of the two personalities and a mixture of Shevet Yehuda, because he came from Yehuda and from Binyamin. His mother was from Yehuda and his father was from Binyamin. So you're correct. It's not just telling us where he came from, but it's telling us insight. So what is that insight? So I think there's some beautiful insight from the Psukim. So let's look at inside. If you look in source number 10, it's Shemos Perek Vav, Pasuk Chafhei, you see a similar idea. It says, Ve'lazar ben Aaron, Lakach lo mebenos putiel lo liisha v'atelad lo es pinchas eila rashi avos halavim lemishbichosam. So when the Torah describes Elazar, who is the son of Aaron, the next Kohen Gadol after Aaron, and he had Pinchas, but it says that his wife was from Benos Putiel. So the Torah doesn't say what his wife's name was over there. So in source number 11, it says mebenos putiel mizera yisro shepite magal mavodazara. Yosef Pitpute Biyitzro. So she came from two sources. His wife. She came from Yisro, who fattened up the calves for Avodah Zarah, and she came from Yosef, who was able to overcome his Yetzer Hara. So, but you see over there that the Torah is showing us that when you come from two different shvatim or two different lineages, it means that or there's some type of idea that the characteristics. It's not just the idea of where you came from, but it's that the characteristics exist within that person. But so what are the characteristics that Mordechai exemplified that would come from Yehuda and Binyamin? So I think here there's a lot of insight. If you go back to Vayechi, in source number 12, it says like this. By Yehuda, what was the essential quality of Yehuda? It says, Gur Arya Yehuda, Mitaref Bini Alisa, Kara Ravat Karyeh, Uchlavi Miikimenu. So the Pasuk says that Aryeh was like a cub and a lion, and he emerged from the prey. And it says he crouched, rested like a lion, and like a lion he will raise him. So, or who will raise him? Sorry, who will raise him? So it's the comparison of Yehuda is to a lion that he emerged from. We're going to see Rashi, but he emerged from Miteref Bnei Alisa. He emerged from the prey of my son, and also he's like a crouching lion. Who's going to cause him to rise? So the explanation or the description of Yehuda is that he's a lion. Look at Rashi. He says Gur Aryeh al David Nisnabe Betchila Gur. So first he was a cub when in the times of Shaul, and Vilavsof Aryeh Kishim Licholam, and then he became the king when he was the lion. The lion is the king of the jungle. So in the beginning he was a cub, and then he turned into a lion when he became crowned king. So it goes on, it says, Miteref, Mimashe Chashad Ticha Betarov Toraf Yosef, Chaya Ra'a Achalasu. So with regard to Yosef and the fact that the brothers lied and said that he was eaten up and that he was destroyed, Vizehu Yehuda Shnimshal Aryeh. So Yehuda was compared to an Aryeh in that situation, Bnei Alisa, Salakdes Atmecha, meaning Yehuda was the one who advised the brothers not to kill Yosef or not to allow him to die. So he's being praised over here for that. The Amarta Mabetza, because Yehuda said, what benefit do we get by having Yosef die? Vechim Arigas Tamar Shehuda Tzadkam Yimeni Lefichach Kararavat Bimei Shlomo Ish Tachas Gafno. So also you see his perfection, that from the idea of Tamar, that he was Hoda, that he was Moda, that he was wrong. So there's a lot of examples of really Yehuda, but Yehuda is compared to the lion, and the basic comparison is that the lion is a leader. He's the king of the jungle, and when he finally takes over, he becomes the melech, he becomes the king. But prior to that, he's the cub, and then he grows up, he becomes the leader. But if you look at Binyamin, so Mordechai came from Yehuda, but he also came from Binyamin. And if you look in source number 14, it says Binyamin ze'ev yitrof ba'boker yochal ad v'lo erev yichalek shalal. It says that Binyamin is like the wolf that that plunders. In the morning, he will devour his, and in the evening, he will split up the spoils. So again, what's interesting, I saw this in the Psukim, it uses the same lashon. It says by Binyamin ze'ev yitrof, and by Aryeh, by Yehuda, it says Gur Aryeh Yehuda Miteref Bnei Alisa, from the prey. It uses the same lashon of yitrof and teref, which it was interesting in the Psukim. But the essential characteristic of Binyamin is that he's a ze'ev, he's a wolf. He's not like a lion, he's a wolf, which is a different type of animal. And I actually gave a speech about this at my youngest son's bris, about the idea, because his name is Zev. But the attachment or the idea of a Ze'ev, which is Binyamin's characteristic. And if you look in source number 15, the Medrash says like this, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof, Shevet Gadol V'Chazak. So Binyamin was a strong and great Shevet. Maha Ze'ev Chotef. So the Ze'ev is known for snatching. So the wolf, it snatches from the shepherd, it snatches the sheep. Kach Bini Binyamin Hayu Chotfim Nashim V'Bnei Ashvua. So then it's a reference to Binyamin, how they would snatch the women from the Shvuah. There was a Shvuah that after Pilegesh Begiva, which is a famous story, that Binyamin were not allowed to marry the other Shvatim, but they snatched the women. It says, Ki Nishbu Bnei Yisrael Arur Nosein Ishal Binyamin Uchsiv Chatav Tem Lachem. So they were snatchers. They were very, there's a certain characteristic there. It says, Babukir Yochalad Zesh Shaul Ben Kish Shehikas Amalek. So what does that mean? In the morning, they will devour their plunder. That's a reference to Shaul. V'lo erev yichalek shalal, zem Mordechai. Mordechai was the end, which is, in the end, you'll divide the spoils. That's Mordechai. V'tosim Esther es Mordechai al beis Haman. And it's a reference to Mordechai being appointed to the house of Haman. So there's an open medrash that ties Mordechai to Binyamin. But we saw in the Gemara that Mordechai came from Yehuda and Binyamin. So what's the significance of that? So the significance is that Mordechai had both qualities, and which is unique to an individual. On the one hand, he was a leader, and he was a natural leader, and he had the leadership qualities of Yehuda, which came from his mother. But on the other hand, he had the qualities of Binyamin, which is kind of opposed to the idea of Yehuda, because Binyamin's a snatcher. Binyamin, he's not the leader, but he has to have the ability to strike from a hidden standpoint, from a hidden spot. So on the one hand, so Mordechai was that idea. Mordechai really had both characteristics. On the one hand, he was a leader because he he basically took over in terms of the Jewish people. He like we said before, he was the one who came up with the plan. He was the one who mobilized them to daven. So he had that. He was a leader. But on the other hand, when it came to Achashverosh, he couldn't really act like that because that would be threatening to Achashverosh. So on the other hand, he was able to snatch. He was able to attack in a more hidden fashion when it came to dealing with Achashverosh. So it's critical that Mordechai had both elements, both characteristics in his personality. He had the ability to lead, and he was like the Aryeh of Yehuda. And on the other hand, he was like the Ze'ev. He was like the wolf, because he was able to snatch. He was able to attack from a more hidden standpoint and a more secondary standpoint. And he had to have both in order to be successful. If he was too arrogant, or if he assumed leadership in the presence of Achashverosh, it would really be threatening to Achashverosh. And the other is true also. If he was just Binyamin, if he was the Ze'ev, so then he wouldn't have been able to lead the Jews and be able to teach them and have this plan to really succeed. So he really, the Medrash is showing us insight into the personality of Mordechai, that he was really a combination of both characteristics, the Aryeh and the Ze'ev. Okay? All right. So let's just keep going. We're going to keep plugging through the Midrashim. There's only two more points, and then we'll summarize. So two more Midrashim. So if you go back to source number 8, and I'm trying to break them up, Medrash by Medrash, it says, V'rabbanan Amri. So there's one other point. Rabbanan Amri, Mishpachos Misgaros Ubezu. So why does it say that, it's the same question, why does it say that he's from Yehuda and Binyamin? So they're fighting for, everyone wants credit for Mordechai. Mishpachas Yehuda Omeres. So Yehuda wants credit for Mordechai's existence. Ana garim de misyaled Mordechai. We caused the birth of Mordechai. How? De lo katle David l'shimi ben Gera. So David, he didn't kill Shimi ben Gera, and Shimi was really really one of the forefathers of Mordechai. So David had an opportunity to kill Shimi ben Gera, and he didn't. Shimi, I think, was the one who cursed him. U'mishpachas Binyamin amra minai ka'asi. And Binyamin was fighting over Mordechai, and they said, no, you're from us. And Rava says the opposite. Rava Amar Knesset Yisrael Amra Leidach Gisa. So they say the opposite. Ru'u Ma'asa Li Yehudi U'mas Shilem Li Yemini. Look what this person from Yehuda did, and what I was repaid by this person from Binyamin. Delo Katle David L'Shimi. Because David didn't kill Shimi, this Yalid Mine Mordechai Demikne Be Haman. So Mordechai was born, and he was responsible for causing Haman's jealousy to arouse Haman's jealousy. And Mashilim Leyamini is a reference to Shaul, that Shaul was also from Binyamin, and he failed to kill Agag, Amalek, and because of that, Haman emerged. So there's two different approaches. The third Medrash is saying in this Gemara that why is he from Yehuda and Binyamin? So he's from Yehuda and Binyamin either because they're fighting for taking credit, and David's saying, he came from me because I let Shimi live, and he's from Yehuda. And Binyamin is saying, no, he's really one of us. He was born from Binyamin. And the opposite is also, the other Medrash saying the opposite. That really, no, that they're both saying, look, Yehuda's saying, they're fighting with each other. Who's taking blame for this situation? That Yehuda allowed Mordechai to live, and he's the one who kind of aroused Haman. And if not for the failures of Shaul, who came from Binyamin, so Haman wouldn't have existed, because Shaul was supposed to destroy Amalek, and he didn't succeed. So this is the third Medrash. So what's the purpose of this idea? What's the Medrash trying to teach us? So if you look in the Marsha, we don't have to do it inside, in 16, but the Marsha pretty much describes the same thing. He says that there's two sides to this Medrash. One side says it was positive, and the other side says it was negative. But with that information, why is Esther introducing Mordechai? So one other point. So it's trying to show us that there are many scenarios or situations and many things that occurred before this event that led to this event. And some were positive and some were negative. But we say, I know that, I think the Rav had a piece on this, but the Rav says that you can't really, it's hard to analyze why things happen when you're in it. You have to wait till after the fact, and you can really understand all the causes of what happened only after the fact. And you can really understand, and you can really go back and say, oh, if we had done this, or if this had changed, then this wouldn't have happened. So yes, there's crazy amounts of causes to any event, and there's millions and billions of causes to every event. But what's the Torah is telling us by over here, by Esther, it's telling us that there are certain elements that created the situation, that perhaps we could look at and we can study and try to either avoid or try to take credit for. So, but the idea of tying him to Yehuda and Binyamin is to try to highlight the background information as to what led to this situation. It wasn't just the imperfection of the Jews, for example, in the second Medrash. It wasn't just the imperfection of the Jews in this situation that led to this, but there's a lot of factors that we can look at before Mordechai came into play as to why the situation occurred. And they're both positive factors, which is that Mordechai and the development of Mordechai and where he was from Yehuda and Binyamin, and they each want to take credit, meaning that there's positive factors in the past that that Mordechai emerged from. But also there's a lot of negative factors in the history prior to Mordechai's presence on the scene that would result in us trying to analyze and trying to change or trying to figure out what caused this to occur. So there's two. So the third Medrash is trying to show us that in introducing Mordechai, it's introducing us to the background of Mordechai. It's introducing us to what led to Mordechai and what led to this situation occurring. And it wasn't just the imperfection of the Jews or the perfection of Mordechai alone, but there was a lot of background to it and there's a lot of history to it. So let's try to understand the history before we understand the rest of the story. Last point over here. The last Medrash says, finally. So the last Medrash is two lines up from the bottom. It says, Rav Yochanan Omer, the Olam of Binyamin Ka'asi. So he really was from Binyamin. Va'amai kari le'Yehudi. Why is he called a Yehudi? Ashum shekafar ba'Avodah Zarah. Because he was a heretic in Avodah Zarah. He contradicted the Avodah Zarah of Haman. Shekal kofar ba'Avodah Zarah nikra Yehudi. Kedechsev isi gavrin Yehudan. Anybody who rejects Avodah Zarah is called Yehudi, is called a Jew. And that's why in source number 17 it says, Ki Mordechai ha-Yehudi mishnei l'melech Achashverosh. It also calls him a Yehudi as well over there. So what is this last point? So the idea of Mordechai Yehudi is trying to teach us insight into Mordechai's character, that he was really tied to the Torah Tzmima in source number 18 says, Yehudi is like tied to the idea of Yichud Hashem, the idea of oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Mordechai was a champion of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it also teaches us a fascinating insight that Jew or Yehudi is really a philosophical idea. It's not a lineage for us. It's not a heritage. It's not an idea of where we came from, but the idea or the identity of a Jew is tied to our philosophical belief system. So if you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you don't believe in Avodah Zarah, so that's the essence of Yehudi. That's the essence of a Jew. It's not really that your father was Jewish or that your mother was Jewish. That's necessary. But the essence of the Shem Yehudi, the essence of being a Jew, is really our attachment to the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our attachment to the unique idea of God that we have. So that's the last idea, and that's what Esther is trying to teach us about Mordechai, not just about his character, but also about the identity of a Jew. That a Jew's identity should not be tied to where he came from, but it should really be tied to his philosophical bent, his philosophical perception, which is that God is one, and he's non-physical, and he's unique. So that's really the idea. So let's just summarize. It's really, I know there's a bunch of points here, but there's really five different points. There's 5 points to the shir, but they're all tied to one another. They're all tied to each other. The first idea was the Ben Ya'ir, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. So we said over there that that's trying to teach us Mordechai's perfection vis-a-vis tefillah, that he was able to assess the situation, construct the appropriate tefillah, and his tefillah was able to give the Jews insight and clarity in terms of the relationship between tefillah and their salvation. So then the second idea after that is that he was Mukhtar Ben Imusa, that he had a lot of titles, that he had a lot of nice names. It means that it really is an idea of stature, that he really was able to take on a distinguished character, a distinguished stature. The third idea is that he came from Yehuda Binyamin. So what does that mean? It means that he had characteristics of both, that he was both the Aryeh, he was a lion, and he was the Ze'ev. He was able to achieve leadership, but he was also able to snatch. He was able to be like the Ze'ev. He was able to come from the hidden spots and be able to snatch and attack at the right moment. The fourth idea is that Mordechai, where the history of the event of Megillas Esther, really, it started from way before Mordechai. It started from Shaul. Shaul led to this, according to the second way of learning the Medrash. And also the emergence of Mordechai and his perfected character was not just his own, but it also came from events prior to that, from the events of Shimi, and also from the fact that he came from Binyamin. So it's trying to show us that the history of Mordechai is really important or essential in terms of understanding who he was and how it affected the story. And then finally, the last idea is Mordechai Yehudi, that a Yehudi, a Jew, is really defined by his philosophical essence, by his philosophical outlook. He's not really defined essentially because he came from a Jew, but he's really defined essentially because of his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mordechai exemplified that, and that's why he's called Mordechai Yehudi, because he was kafir b'avodah zarah, and the Torah Tmima at the end in source number 18 says that he was attached to the Yachid Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yichud Hashem. He was attached to the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was really an essence in Mordechai's character, but also it's the identity of the Jew. It's really the essence of a Jew. All right, so those are all the ideas that we can learn in the introduction of Mordechai in Megillas Esther. Does anybody have any questions or want to add anything?
I have a question.
Sure.